friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. As you know, I took a few weeks off, but now I'm back to continue with the Daily 10 podcast. Over the past month, Lydia and I traveled to Nashville for the Getty Music Worship Conference, and it was fantastic. And then we spent some time with my parents for their 60th wedding anniversary. We traveled by car and drove over 5,800 miles and saw some very beautiful parts of this wonderful country. And it's good to be back. I've missed the podcast. One thing I recognized over and over again over the past month was the enormous need for people to be thinking deeply about biblical truth. As you know, there are so many complicated problems in the world today. It seems that as we, as a society, advance in technology, advance in medicine, advance in knowledge in general, well, it seems that our personal and social problems grow deeper and more intractable. So what can we do? One thing is that we can promote the daily practice of thinking deeply about the Word of God, thinking deeply about the Bible. So, if this podcast is an encouragement to you, if this podcast helps you to think more deeply about Jesus, then let's be intentional about sharing the podcast with our friends and contacts. Let's be intentional about sharing Think Jesus Cafe through our social media networks with the prayer that God would use this forum to draw others into a deeper, thinking relationship with Christ. Okay. Today we'll continue with our study of the New Testament letter of 1 John, and I'll start today by reading 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, in the previous section, the Apostle John reminded us of the hatred Cain had for Abel. And now John urges us not to be surprised when the unbelieving world hates us because of our faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is pleasing to God, but that faith, that life-transforming faith, also shines light on darkness and exposes self-righteousness, and the world hates being exposed. The great expositor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, observed that hatred by the world is, quote, proof that we are in fact genuine Christians. Hatred, of course, can come in various forms. Sometimes it can be a not too subtle rejection and ridicule. It could present itself in harsh words. It could treat believers as social outcasts. And hatred for the followers of Christ could even lead to murder. Now, this hatred that John speaks of is a general, overall attitude of those who reject Christ. And John tells us not to be surprised when we experience it. Okay, in verse 14, the Apostle John says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." The first observation here is that John once again uses the word know. K-N-O-W. And this is significant. In the apostle's mind, believers can know something. Believers can have confidence about some things as it concerns our relationship with God. Many people mistakenly think that things eternal are unknowable. But that's not true for John. He wants us to know, and he's confident that we can know. John says, "We know that we've passed out of death into life." Well, there are at least four things we can know from this brief phrase. First, we can know that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins. That's implied here when John uses the word death, passing from death to life. And the Apostle Paul specifically states this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. So we can know that we were once dead in our sins, and this is true for everyone apart from a saving relationship with Christ. Second, we can know that we have experienced an amazing change. We've undergone an amazing change from death to life. This is the new birth. At one time, we were dead to the things of God. We may or may not have had an interest in various religious themes and practices, but we were spiritually dead to the things concerning Jesus Christ. But then something happened. we changed. We underwent a dynamic change, and now we are alive to the truths of Jesus Christ. We can know something. We can know that we changed. Third, we can know that we are spiritually alive. This point is closely connected to the previous two. We were once spiritually dead, we changed, and now we are spiritually alive. In the biblical worldview, there are only two modes of existence. One is to be spiritually dead to the biblical truths of the Bible and things concerning Jesus Christ. The other is to be spiritually alive to Christ, to have the Holy Spirit living and moving with us so that we are made alive to the great truths of God. We can know that we are alive because we have a deep thirst and a growing understanding of these great biblical truths. Fourth, we can know that we are spiritually alive because we love the brothers. Spiritual death leads people to avoid or distance themselves from God's people. But spiritual life causes us to draw near to God's people. Here John is speaking of the agape kind of love, the kind of love that wants to serve and be near God's spiritually redeemed people. The desire to be around other Christians is one of the surest signs of spiritual life. The desire to serve God's people in the name of Christ comes from the spiritual life that's given by God that resides in us. So, there are some things that we can know. The followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, can know several profound things. This is an important observation since many folks seem to think that spiritual truth is unknowable. The Apostle John would disagree. All right, in verse 14, John says, "We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." Once again, John is being very helpful in guiding us to better understand if a person is a true born-again Christian. Hating Christians and belittling them is a worldly practice. It's a worldly attitude, and it's not reflective of a person who has the Spirit of God living in them. Loving and serving Christians, the brethren, is reflective of a person that does have the Spirit of God living in them. One of John's main objectives in this letter is to help believers discern whether or not a person is a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. People can claim many things, but John wants his readers to be discerning in their relationships with teachers and with other believers. In the letter of 1 John, the term begotten or reborn or born of are found 10 times. So the idea of being born again is on the mind of the Apostle John. He wants to help us answer the question, how may I know that regeneration has occurred in my own life or in the life of others? John answers that question in a few different ways in the letter of 1 John. John says that the truly regenerated person will not practice sin. The truly regenerated person will practice righteousness. And the truly born again person will love the brethren. John's point is simply that these activities are the evidence of the new birth. The absence of these practices is the evidence that regeneration has not taken place. John provides these tests because he wants to provide the church with the means by which to discern between true and false believers. Now, one final word on this idea of loving the brethren, loving our Christian brothers and sisters who make up the church as a whole, locally and globally. Love, as the apostle uses the word here, is not a matter of emotion or being sentimental. The love John speaks of is a love of action. Jesus loved us by doing something helpful. He laid down his life for us. The love of Jesus was a love of action. Likewise, we are called to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to help those in need, particularly those who are in the church. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, the Apostle John, in 1 John, is teaching about the general pattern of a Christian's life. The general pattern of the born-again life is one of service. Over time, born-again believers will be in the practice of loving others by serving them with helpful acts of kindness. Again, this is not a worldly type of kindness. It's a kindness that's rooted in Christ, the love of God, the desire to shine the light of Christ on the world around us. But we all know there are seasons of life where our warmth towards another person may grow cold. For whatever reason, it could be us, could be them, for whatever reason, the relationship may become distant. The solution to that problem, my friend, is Christian self-sacrifice. The solution is to put our own love into action. Do something helpful for the other person. Act with love, making the other person the object of our own ministry. The result will be a rekindling of the desire to be in a healthy, helpful, God-honoring Christian relationship. Since this love is not an emotional type of love, we don't need to wait until we feel loving towards the other person. We can take action and step out in a simple act of faith and watch God work through our acts of self-giving kindness and generosity. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.